And it's also great that it's called the well, because that's what I'm preaching on today is the well. The well of refreshment. Some of you may have even forgotten where I left you hanging a couple weeks ago. You remember Hagar was out in the desert, Genesis chapter 21. I think we left off on verse 19. She was out there in the desert. She had been driven away from her house with her son Ishmael, young boy, and ran out of water. All she was given was a little loaf of bread and a skin of water, and those went real quick. And she got to the point of despair, thinking she was going to die. She placed her son underneath a bush and went away a few paces. She couldn't stand to watch the little guy die. And it was at that point, verse 19, that God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And I asked you a couple questions as we were kind of leaving. Was the well there all the time? Yeah, it was. We know that because he says he opened her eyes and she saw it. The second question was, why did he hide it from her? Why would God, that seems a little bit mean, you know, to get somebody to the point of dehydration and close to death of her child before you reveal the source of the water. Why did God do that? And that's kind of where we left off. And I think there's another question, and that is, why did he ultimately open her eyes? If he was going to hide it from her, why didn't he just show her all along? Well, let's take the question about why she didn't see it. Why she went to that point of discomfort before God actually showed it to her. The well was there all along, but I think God is more concerned with our character than he is with our comfort. And this is something I used to tell my kids as they were growing up, and they wanted to do something that to them was fun, but to me looked like it wasn't the right thing to do. I would tell them, I'm more concerned about your character than your comfort. He's in the business of building our faith, and I believe he's trying to build the faith of Hagar. Well, what kind of faith, you say? Well, go back, you know, like I said, I've forgotten how many chapters, 7 or 8 chapters, and you will see that she was out in the same spot before. And that point, she had run away from her mistress because she was being mistreated, and God sent her back. But when he sent her back from possibly even the same spot, when he sent her back, he told her something about her son. He said, you're going to have a son. He's going to be a great man. He's going to be the father of many nations. And he's going to basically do a bunch of great things. This was God talking to her. So with that in mind, she goes back out perhaps to the same spot. Apparently, she did not remember what God had told her so many years earlier, because she was despairing to the point of death. She didn't even want to see her son die. So if you go back just a verse or two, I think it was verse 17, Jesus appears to Hagar and he asks her a question. And the question was, Hagar, what's the matter? Now, that question can mean a bunch of different things. Obviously, what's the matter is she needs some water, all right? But I think he's asking a bigger question there. I think what he's really asking Hagar is, what's the matter that you don't remember the promise that I gave you? Because if you remember the promise that I gave you, you wouldn't be worried about your present situation. I'm basically waiting on you, Hagar, to call upon me to remind me of the promise that I made to you. And the moment you do that, you're going to find the well of refreshment. So I think the reason we have the delay is God is just waiting on Hagar to remind him of the promise that he made to her when she was in, like I say, the same vicinity, maybe even the same spot, so many years earlier. She doesn't remind God. She doesn't go back to God. She doesn't pray to God. So what I think Jesus is saying to her by saying, what's the matter? I think it's a gentle rebuke to her. Hagar, you got a chance to build your faith here. You got a chance to call on me. And instead of doing that, you're looking to your circumstances and you're in despair. So I think that's what was going to happen. And then after that little conversation that Jesus has with her, he then opens her eyes and she sees the well of water. Says rest of verse 19. So she went and filled the skin of water, gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up, just looking into the future here. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him out of Egypt. Now, this little story about Hagar and Ishmael in the desert, I believe the reason he opened her eyes, well, now we know why he closed her eyes, but the reason he opened her eyes is I believe God wanted to paint a picture, not just for her, but for us. A picture that can affect us today, this week, in whatever we're going through. And the picture is that when we exercise our faith in God, our eyes will then see the well of water. If we don't exercise our faith, we're still going to see the well of water. But it may not come as soonly as we want or as it could. And secondly, it's not going to mean as much to us if we don't see that well of water in the eyes of faith as opposed to the eyes of desperation. I'll try to show you a couple things that kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about. But you may be today, either sitting here or listening to me, you may be at a point of a desert, a dry time, maybe even a point of desperation. And if you're not, praise God. If you're not, you probably will sometime in the near future. You're going to encounter the situation that Hagar encountered. We all are. And not just once. It's part of life. And we see here, I believe, that it's also part of God's plan in our life, that we encounter these desert times. Because without them, we cannot build up our faith. And without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. So, I'm going to tell you that you are going to encounter some desert times. And I'm going to tell you also that you are going to see the well of refreshment. The question that I don't know the answer to is, are you going to see the well through the eyes of faith or through the eyes of despair? Because if you see it through the eyes of faith, it's going to mean a whole lot more to you. The time of refreshment will come, but the point of the story, the point of this little vignette about Hagar and Ishmael, I believe, it's not to prove to you that there's a well of refreshment just around the corner. That is in the story, but I don't think that's the point of the whole story. The point is, will you have the faith during the dry times while you're in the desert? Can you realize that God knows what he's doing? You may not know what he's doing, but he knows what he's doing. And all he asks of us is to trust him. And when we do this, we bless the Lord. We please the Lord. We grow in our faith. Faith is the currency of heaven, I've said many times. When we all get to heaven, we're going to go there with our bank account of faith. And the more faith we have, the more we're going to enjoy eternity future. So what does God want to do? He wants us to give us a big fat bank account so that we can enjoy heaven all the more. So I think that's one of the reasons he makes us go through these desert experiences. So we should not curse the desert times. We should look for the blessings of the desert times. And as we do that, our faith will increase and our ability to enjoy the well of refreshment when we see it will increase. This reminds me of a man in history that was really good at this. Now, Hagar wasn't that good at it. Hagar was not good at it. She forgot about the promises God made to her. But there's a guy in this guy's life. It just amazes me. I've read several biographies of him. Would have loved to have met the guy and just sat down for just an hour and just talked to the guy and find out where he got this high level of faith that he had. But his name was George Mueller. Some of you may remember, I've talked about him before. An amazing person. George Mueller was the person who first started orphanages. Before that, there was no such thing as an orphanage. He got a message from God or just a belief. He saw these orphans on the street, and he said, these kids need a place where they can be safe, and they can be educated, and they can grow in the knowledge of the Lord. So he started this orphanage. He himself was a wild child, but God got a hold of him, and God started using him, and he had this faith in God that I don't think is paralleled by anybody else that I know of outside of the people in the Bible. I just don't know of anybody that had this level of faith. God said to him, George, start an orphanage. And George Mueller said, I'm your servant, God. I'm ready to go. But I'm not going to talk to anybody about it. I'm not going to ask anybody for any money. God, if you want me to start this orphanage, you're going to have to provide everything yourself. And God did. And strange things started happening. People donated land to George Mueller. People donated building plans and construction materials and labor. And he built, initially, a rather small orphanage. And immediately it was stocked with kids off the street. Well, he needed cooks. He needed people to do laundry. He needed all that kind of stuff. People came, and they donated their time. So this orphanage ministry got started. And, of course, as soon as it got started, he recognized the need was much greater than what he had already provided. So he said, God, we need more buildings and more. There's kids out there that need this. And God kept providing. And it turned out to be a huge orphanage. I forget the number. It was in the thousands of kids there at any given time in this orphanage. And he educated them, and he pumped out pastors and preachers and missionaries, and kids that were in the streets wound up being great disciples for the Lord. But just a couple of little stories about his faith. He refused to ask for money. But it was a very expensive. Can you imagine the cost of raising 1,500 kids on any given day, much less a year? Well, he just trusted in God that God would provide it. And the cooks and the workers were constantly amazed by his faith. And they would come to him. One morning they came to him and said, Mr. Mueller, we don't have milk for breakfast. And George Mueller's response was, what time is breakfast? And they said, 8 o'clock. And he said, what time is it now? And they said, 7:30. He said, that's no big deal. God's got a whole half an hour to provide the milk. What are you worried about? Haven't you seen him do it before? Well, yeah, but it's getting close, and these kids are hungry. We need to. He said, I'm not worried about it. This is God's ministry. This is God's orphanage. We're just here. He's the one that's got to provide the milk. Well, about 20 minutes later, there was a knock on the door, and they went to answer the door. And the guy says, I am the milkman. You know, they used to put it on the carts. And he says, I broke an axle right outside your driveway here, and I can't deliver my milk anymore, and it's going to spoil. I thought, do you want the milk? I'll give you the milk because it's no good. Oh, yes, we do. And in come the milk, 8 o'clock, right on time. This sounds like an amazing miracle, and it is an amazing miracle. But George Mueller expected it. Think how much sweeter the response to that miracle, that well of refreshment, was to George Mueller because he believed it was going to happen. There was another time where finances were due. I don't know what they were for, but they needed a certain sum of money to come in. Let's just say In today's terms, they needed $1,547. And the mail comes in, and George Mueller says, "Don't worry, the amount we need will be in the mail." So they start opening the mail, and they have this thing coming, this thing. It came down to the last letter, and they said, "It doesn't look like we're going to make it." And George Mueller said, "Well, how much do we need to meet our payroll, our bills, or whatever?" "We need $1,547, they said. He said, "It's no problem. We've got one letter. That letter will have a check in it for $1,547. And they looked around at each other in disbelief. "Have you opened it yet?" "No, I haven't opened it yet." So they opened the letter. Inside was a check for $1,547. They were jumping up and down and praising the Lord and all that. And George Mueller he was happy, but he wasn't surprised because he believed God would do what God said. Those were just a couple little stories. If you read his biography, you will see time after time stories like this where God met his needs. I use George Mueller as an example because he shows how we are supposed to react in desert times. Not like Hagar, where we get depressed and we go shove our baby under a tree and get ready for the baby to die. No, he said, "God, you made a promise. I remember the promise. I'm holding you to the promise because I know you don't lie." And when God hears those words, I'm sure he swells up with pride. And he says, "That's what I want my children to live. That's how I want them to live life. That's the kind of prayers I want to hear. I don't want to hear prayers of desperation. I want to hear prayers of you calling me to account on the promises that I've given you." So George Mueller is a good example of someone who went through just as many desert times as any of us. Can you imagine the responsibility that was on his shoulders to take care of all these children? Those were the desert times. But he handled them with the level of faith that God wanted him to. And that's the message for us today. That's the message for Hagar. That's the picture that I believe God is trying to paint for us today. That is, you're going to go through a desert time. You're going to have a well of refreshment. How sweet do you want that water to be? How much do you enjoy it? Do you want to enjoy it? It's up to you. Because your attitude in the desert will determine the level of enjoyment of that well of refreshment. So that's what I see as the reason that God led her into the desert, the reason he hid the well from her initially, and the reason he eventually opened up her eyes so that she would see it. Well, we are going to have, with the time left here today, we're going to have communion service. And as we have it, in fact, the leaders can come up and prepare the table. But as we have it, I want you to be thinking about this story of Hagar and Ishmael. And ask yourself, am I in the desert now? Have I come out of the desert? How did I do the last time I was in the desert? How am I going to do the next time when I'm in the desert? So that you are preparing yourselves to increase your faith. Because you're going to go through it. I'm going to go through it. We're all going to go through it at some level or another. This will be a good thing to meditate on this morning as we do enter into the Lord's Supper. Excuse me, Jim. We find this story told to us by Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 as he recounts the story of the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it. I would like the elders to go ahead and pass out the bread, please. We have these nice little pre-cut wafers. At the time of the original Lord's Supper, it would have been probably a round loaf of bread, and Jesus would have ripped off parts of this loaf of bread as he passed them out to his disciples. And the picture that he was painting for his disciples with this broken loaf of bread was that his body was going to be broken for them. It was a sad time because of what he was just about to have to go through. And that's why I think it's appropriate today, as we have our lesson on the desert times that Hagar experienced, it is represented by the bread. And it, again, we're going to go through these times. So as we eat the bread, I want you to be thinking about how you're going to handle it the next time you go through a desert time, the next time your body is broken, when your relationships are broken and all. And I hope that you will remember how to handle these tough times, as George Mueller did, not like Hagar did. He broke the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Well, if in our illustration the bread represented the desert, what would the cup represent?
Well,
well, the well of refreshment. This is the reward we get to experience after the dry times when we see God's promises fulfilled. We get to enjoy the reward. The cup represents also the new covenant, the promise, the eternal promise that Jesus gives us, and the power that his blood represents over sin, that it totally destroys, totally cleanses us from sin, and gives us a new life. But in today's teaching, it represents the well of refreshment and how we will enjoy the well of refreshment so much more if we have our faith through the times of the desert. What does the Bible say that faith is? It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So as we partake of the cup, let us again resign ourselves that we will have our faith in our dry times and that we will get to enjoy the sweetness of the well of refreshment at some point. We don't know when it's going to be, but we trust in God and we trust that God knows what he's talking about. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're going to have a prayer time, and then it also says in the scriptures that after the Lord's Supper, they sang a hymn and they left. So we're going to go right to our circle. Yeah, you can go ahead and cover this. We're going to go right to our fellowship circle afterwards, but I want to go to the Lord in prayer. If you'll join your hearts with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this lesson that we have in Scripture today. We thank you for showing us, Lord, ahead of time that we're not to be surprised when we go through hard times. There's actually a purpose for it. And it can actually be a blessing to us if we'll handle things in the right way. Lord, I know, I trust you that you're not going to put anything on my plate so big that I can't handle it. You're going to give me the grace that I need to get through whatever dry times or difficult times that you have in store for me. And I know that's true for everybody here. We don't have to worry about it. We're not going to be given a portion that we cannot handle. But Lord, the portion that you do give us and the grace that you do give us to get through it, we commit to you today that we will have the right attitude and we will have faith that you know what you're doing and that we will see someday the well of refreshment. And we will see it with eyes of faith, as George Mueller did, not eyes of disbelief, as Hagar did. So that's just a reminder for us all, Lord, that we'll remember that when we do go through tough times. And ultimately, it's going to be great times, no matter what you have in store for us on this earth, no matter how tough things might be. We get to enjoy an eternity of pleasure with you and praising you and just being in your company and your companionship. And we just look forward to that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.